Starting the audio, let me start the video, wherever it is. And I did change the IP, that's right. Okay, and here, sound is too low, okay. There you go. And we'll make the study big. Shabbat Shalom. anyway, that was very good. We are one Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabe Mashiach. It's a little piece of the Israel of God. And today's a Sabbath, and oh, my body's ready for the Sabbath. We had a full week. But I thank God we could be here today. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, Creator of all things, we thank you for another Shabbat. Forgive us any sin, any blemish, any spot. We thank and praise you. We can gather together with true brothers and sisters, wherever they may be. Bless this day. Bless the study. Lord and God, open up our ears spiritually and our hearts. I thank God for another day, another Sabbath in God. I pray today, Lord, you'll open up more doors for us to get the gospel out some way for the youth of this world. Lord and God, knowing it's getting so dark out there and all the different things that are going on in the world. I pray you open up a door for us to preach more and more, Lord and God, and bring us to people that are ready to hear everywhere we go, Father. And I thank God for the blood of the Messiah. I thank God for every one of you. May God touch you and heal you and strengthen you and lead, guide, and direct you in every decision and everything you do. And may God prosper us spiritually and physically in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Well, there's May. I forgot that last week, but there's May. Now you know what May is. See the bottom there in red? It means the Great One, the italic goddess of spring, the daughter of Funus, the wife of Vulcan. And I can't do it, but she's not that Vulcan. Anyway, that's how ridiculous the word May is, and it's May 9th today. However, we're still in God's second month, Ziph, and it's the 19th day, and I thank God for that. We're in the second month of God, and I tell you what, we've been going to our property, and it's definitely flowers, and everything's bloomed. I mean, everything looks so thick out there. We had so much rain in the past, so I thank God for that. And it's brightness, and it's beautiful out. If you have a Judaism calendar, make sure you change that. It's not IR, okay? Everyone here knows that. My ministry, you guys all know here, but for the people that are just listening for the first time on the net when I put the study on, it's a teaching ministry. I like to bring up topics and subjects maybe you're not familiar with, or maybe never been emphasized in your life, or maybe never spoken. And that's what my ministry is all about. I like to undelete some of these things for you. I'm thank God for that little server back there. No matter what comes or goes, it's still rolling. So you could actually read them, my messages. You could listen to them. You could hear them. You could watch them. You could upload them. There's a lot of stuff you can do if you have time, that is. And then we're on PowTalk right now. We're streaming live. Did they see us? Anyone see us? Okay. There's the URL right there. It's MMS. See that right down there? That's what you put in your real player right there, in case you didn't know. If you happen to be not with us, you can always do that. It's MMS, and there's the big number. Anyway, I would like to be... I'd like this other link to come into focus. I'd like to be scheduled into someone's life. I always like to come and talk live. And, you know, just, was it like 2 weeks ago now, I did a radio show. And, that was so exciting to me. That's just what I want to do. And just what I want, that's what I really want to do compared to anything I do in my life. And I wish the God would open up more doors to teach and maybe help or, you know, maybe purify people's beliefs a little better, or as much as we know, you know. We're still counting the Sabbaths, not Omers, right? And everybody knows what an Omer is by now. And there's in Leviticus 23:15, that tells you that we're counting Sabbaths. Seven Sabbaths are going to be complete. Today I said is May 9th, right? So we got until May 24th for Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. That's nice. And this is the fifth Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths we were told to count. And that's going quick, isn't it? And I know there's been a lot of trials and tribulations here and there. And Satan tries to get us in our, you know, different ways of hitting us financially or in our health department, or tries to discourage us or mentally, or tries to put thoughts in your mind. But we're still going strong. This morning at my house, my modem and my router went out. They just both blew out. And I can't figure that out for the life of me because I haven't even been using it because I've been gone. So am I discouraged? No. And I always tell people when we try to help them with their lives, always try to make sure you have a management, you know, fund or you know, some type of storage. So in the event these little crises happen, you have the finances to try to put yourself back together. And God will help. You know, God will lead, guide, and direct us in everything we do. So your spiritual journey. I know here in Tennessee we're getting hit. I wonder if any of you guys are getting hit out there in California or what are you, Mississippi or Alabama? Alabama. Anyway, today's subject I wanted to talk about is law and order. And I was doing my study, except my internet went out, so it's going to be short. I had so many things to say, and I'll try to. Later on, I'll have the full version of the study. But anyway, Law and Order. Wasn't there a TV show called that?
Yeah.
But this is Law and Order in the Scriptures. This is a little different. You know, in the Bible, there are many different judges and offices and officers in Scriptures. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Today, I'm just going to talk about a few of them. Scripture speaks of the office of the midwife in Genesis. So there's a different office that maybe you don't think about. And then, of course, there were so many scriptures. I only listed one or two about the priest's office. And there was only particular people to do that. You know, I know even today we're all priests, you know, spiritually. But back in the days of the Torah, these physical priests, only Levites and Aaron's sons can be the high priest. Exodus 28:1 says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron and thy brother and his sons with thee from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons," right? So no one can just show up and be a priest. And the book of letter to the Hebrews, Paul says, "Verily, they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood." So study today is everyone should stay in their own office and their own, I guess, their own portion that God gives you instead of trying to do every single thing. In Deuteronomy 16:18, "Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which Jehovah thy God gives thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment." So you notice there's judges and officers. And if you do a search in the Bible, there's many different officers and offices and many judges that do different functions in the body. And that's what it's all about. And that's what makes the whole body run. Just like us, you know, physically, you know, your hands don't do what your head is doing. Your head doesn't do what your feet are doing. Your feet don't do what your arms are doing. You know, every member of your body does a different function, but it makes the whole body run, right? Apostle Paul tells the Romans, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brothers, and I say sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So in other words, God just wants your all. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You know, the more we work on our property, like I was telling you, the more I feel like getting back to that original. I know I'm not doing the exact original things people done, you know, back there, but I feel back to more nature. You know, it's different. It's different than, you know, the things we're so accustomed to now. So anyway, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man and woman among you, that not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that's really true. You know, we don't extend ourselves, you know, we don't compare ourselves with people that think they're so high. We always take the back seat, and we always, you know, wait to God to exalt us, right? For as we have many members in one body, this is what I was saying a few minutes ago, all members have not the same office. So everyone has a different function. So we being many are one body in Messiah, and everyone members one of another. Having therefore gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, you know, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or if a ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or if you're a teacher, you have to wait on your teaching. He that exhorts, exhorts, wait on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, you got to do it with diligence. And he that shows mercy, you have to do it with cheerfulness, right? So the body has many different functions. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. We do. We do hate that which is evil, and we have to cleave to that which is good. We have to be kindly affectionate one to another with brother and sister love, in honoring, preferring one another. And this really got me today, not slothful in business. That's really important, because we see people that are slothful in business, and they always, you know, end up in a bad situation. We have to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So I looked up some verses in being slothful, people that are just flat out lazy, I guess. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. This is Proverbs 12:24. But the slothful shall be on the tribute, right? The slothful person roasted not that which he took in hunting, which I think would be totally lazy, but the substance of the diligent person is precious, right? Everything, you know, I was thinking about that recently, and, you know, we have rental properties and things of that nature, and we found so many items that people threw away that we're using and gave away to other people. Things that were in perfect order, things that were, you know, that cost money. Some things that even looked brand new were thrown away, and we couldn't believe that they were thrown away. We went through everything, and we found all types of things. I got all kinds of things. So does a lot of people. Yeah, we actually gave it to people that were in need. So that's why I was reading that verse right there. But to the substance of a diligent person, the substance of a diligent person is precious. Everything that they own. So we take care of everything. You know, we don't disregard stuff and throw it away, and don't think we can't give it to someone else. The way of the slothful person is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Proverbs 18:9. He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that's a great waster. Yes, that's very true. And I know this, Proverbs 19:15. Some people don't get this. Slothfulness casts you into a deep sleep. You know, you get complacent. You know, you don't even realize your time is passing and you're just using people. Slothfulness casts it into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Those are all powerful little proverbs, aren't they? I'm probably reading them a little quick, but just think, a slothful person hides his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. He's too lazy to even feed himself. Now the desire of the slothful, and their desire is very weak, it kills them. But the hand, it says, his hands refuse to labor. Some people just don't want to go to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't what? You don't eat. And sometimes if you don't work, your family's not eating too. And if you don't eat, then you start getting really slothful and weak. And the slothful man says, there's a lion without. I'll be slain in the streets. I can't go out there and work. Someone's going to attack me. Yeah. You know, this is wisdom right here. Proverbs 24:30 says, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of a person void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down." Boy, no maintenance, huh? "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as one that travels, and your want as an armed man." And, you know, we make sure that we don't want to be in that situation, right? That's pretty lazy, where you don't have maintenance. Everything, you know, we're in the world of entropy. Everything is running down, you know. And so everything needs maintenance. Yeah. And don't be so surprised if your brakes go out, or if you need tires, or your modem goes out, and or your air conditioner goes out, or because everything is just everything is in the point of decay. Everything's decaying, including our little bodies. I know, don't mention that. It's hard to say that before a bunch of ladies, huh? Anyway. Yeah. Let's see. Where am I? I read the, let's see. "As the door turns upon his hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed." Now that's really lazy. "The slothful hides his hand in his bosom." I read that, okay. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18, it says, "By much slothfulness, the building definitely decays." You notice everything in your house starts breaking and falling apart, and you, even if you haven't looked at it for a while, and once you start looking at it, you think, "I didn't realize this is all broken and needs maintenance." And then that's because slothfulness, and through the idleness of the hands, the house drops through. And it doesn't take long. Everything goes back to the disarray, you know. Really, it's terrible. Sometimes we don't even realize that we let things go too long. Back to Romans 12. I was reading Romans 12. We have to rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Amen. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, the ones that are not lazy. Given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. So, brothers and sisters that persecute us, you know, we don't curse them. We pray that we bless them with a prayer, "May God take care of everything." We don't curse them. It says, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to people of low estate. Don't be wise in your own conceits." It's pretty simple. So these are all laws and rules in the Bible, and, you know, admonishment and correction that I was trying to go over. Let's see here. It says, "Recompense to no person evil for evil." Never. We don't do that. "Provide things honest in the sight of all people." Right? Everywhere we go, we try to be honest everywhere we go. We try to make sure we don't take anything that's not ours. We don't take uneven portions, or people try to give us extra, especially if they're not the owner. You know what I mean? You know, if it's possible, as much that lies in you, try to live peaceably with everyone. And we tried that. We do that. We do that. We try to live peaceably with everyone. Isn't that good advice? We try, if it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible. You got that? Sometimes it's not possible. Some people just want to be contentious and argue, and who knows. Dearly beloved, remember this. Avenge not yourselves. Some people like to take vengeance, but we avenge not ourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. So you might say, what's that mean? Well, God says vengeance is his. He's going to repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, we feed them. If they're thirsty, we give them drink. In so doing, we heap coals of fire on their head. And this is my, I use this verse a lot through my life. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Very important. I wish I would have completed this study today, but I only got a few things to say. It's going to be, I hope it's not too short. Paul writes a letter to Titus. You know, back in those days, they wrote letters everywhere because they didn't have any phones, right? Didn't have any emails. Right. So Titus, he says, Paul says, Paul, he's a servant of God. Notice how he don't say, here I am, the big time leader. He's a servant of God and an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah. According to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that can't lie, he promised eternal life to us before the world began. Isn't that amazing? God knew us before we were born, but had in due times manifest his word through how? Preaching. And that's why we're all commanded to preach, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And he's writing to Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, our Savior. Isn't that amazing? So it says right in verse 3 that God is our Savior. And it says right there, Yeshua the Messiah is our Savior. And there's only one Savior, right? Sounds like he might be God, huh? That's a good verse. For this cause left I thee in Crete, which is a little island, that thou shouldest set in order, which some people don't like order. They like disorder, you know, disarray. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are lacking and ordain elders in every city. I wish I can do that. At the moment, we don't have people to do that with. I'd like to go and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. And then if any be blameless, notice the elders, they're supposed to be a man, right? It says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, not two or three, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. We've met some families that have children that are riotous and unruly. And then, of course, here's an office of a bishop. A bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, amen, a lover of good men and women, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, amen. You know, there's many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, and today there's just lots of them all over the net, whose mouths must be stopped. I wish God would stop their mouths. Who subvert whole houses. They preach false doctrine, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake, and they're always getting money from people. They're always like getting tithes from people and using it for themselves because they don't want to go to work. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars. They're always liars. Evil beasts. They're slow bellies. That's pretty low, huh? This witness is true. So what are you supposed to do when you meet them? Go out to a picnic or have a... Pray for them? No. It says, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. And forget all this Jewish fable stuff and commandments of men that turn from the truth, you know. Make sure everything you do is, you could read it in the Bible. You know, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. You know, they profess that they know God. How many people have, do you know that? Everyone we know, they profess that they know God. But in works, they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work they're reprobates. We met a lot of pretenders People that they look like your brothers and sisters, but they're imposters. Paul tells Titus, he says, this is a true saying. You know, if a man desires the office of a bishop, Paul's writing to Timothy now. He says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work, but there's some credentials this bishop has to have, right? A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So the bishop is, again, a man, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. You know, I don't understand why some people reject having men as the leaders of a congregation, or when you look even in the animal kingdom, you could see that the male animal is always the one that protects and always the one that's guarding, even in lions, right? Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, everything again is in disarray in this world and disorder. Not given to wine. I had grape juice last night. We don't go around striking people. We're not greedy of filthy lucre. We don't have to worry about that. No one gives us any money anyway. And we have to be patient. We're not a brawler. We're not covetous. We try to only buy what we could afford, and we save up when we want something if we need. We don't buy things we don't need. One that rules well his own house. You've got to be able to rule your own house. And that doesn't mean with rigor or like you're the tyrant with a strong fist, right? The whip. You're supposed to, it says right there, you're supposed to rule well your own house, being, you know, you have to be godly, having his children in subjection with all gravity. You know, if a man know not how to rule his own house, if you can't even rule your own house and take care of your own family, how are you ever going to take care of that church or God? So how are you ever going to be a bishop or a deacon or any kind of, how are you going to maintain any office in the house of God? It's a sad thing. I wish I had deacons and bishops. But, you know, there's credentials that you need to fulfill. You just don't show up and say, I want to be a deacon. Yeah. Definitely, we would never pick a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, they fall into condemnation of the devil. Plus, these people have to have a good report of them that are without the body. In other words, everywhere we go and everything we do, we met people even this week where we go, and everyone likes us and they respect us because they see that we're honest. And they really enjoy that we're Jews that keep the commandments, and they love that. And they say, are you messianic? I said, well, you know, that's the term people use, you know. It says, moreover, we must have a good report of them that are without, lest you fall into reproach in the snare of the devil, right? Likewise, the deacons, they're supposed to be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. But here's the difference. Let them first be proved. Don't just sign them up. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. And at the moment, I feel like we're blameless because we don't owe anybody anything. Everywhere we go, people like us. People enjoy us. Everyone we do business with, they're friendly, and they see we fulfill our part of the bargain. You know, excuse me? Keep God's commandment. That is keeping God's commandments, because we're being a light to the world, and we're doing this testimony for the people that are without the body. Even so, the wives are supposed to be grave, not slanderers. Some wives today are trying to run the show. They're sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Oh, so the deacons are supposed to be men, and they're supposed to have one wife. What?
They are.
Hello? They're the husbands of one wife, right? Yeah, but nowadays some women are trying to run the show. And you're supposed to rule your children, ruling their children and their own house as well. Some men I've met people in the past, they never wanted to go get a job. And they have children. They don't even care about their kids or their wife, and they wear their family out. And some of these people, I'm not even sure about their educations that they're getting, this homeschooling stuff. It makes me worry. For they to have to use the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good decree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Messiah Yeshua. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. So Paul, he loved making those little trips by ship, to get to these different places. He says, but if I tarry long, that you should know how you should behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And you can always tell if a person would be a good deacon or a bishop, how they run their own family and how they rule their own family and the structure. A lot of people get these scriptures misinterpreted. The husband's the head of the wife, but that doesn't mean, again, the husband is the dictator tyrant. It means the husband loves the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And this is a big problem today, even though here Paul writes, this is supposed to be without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. This is supposed to be without controversy. God was manifest in the flesh. But now, today, there's controversy everywhere about that one little verse. No one believes God was manifest in the flesh. Most people, a lot of people don't, I should say. Not most people, a lot of people don't. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the world, and he was received up into glory. And this is all through the Bible, these bishops and deacons and what the husband is supposed to do and how he's supposed to love his wife and the wife is supposed to love the husband. And even the Philemon, I think this is, or Philippians, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Yeshua the Messiah, to all the saints in Messiah Yeshua, which are at Philippi. And he's with the bishops and deacons. So the offices from the Torah have stretched forth through the whole Bible. And just like I said, you couldn't just go judge the people in the Torah. You had to be a judge, and you couldn't be a priest unless you were of the tribe of Levi, and you couldn't be a high priest unless you're from Aaron. And there's different functions that every body does in the body. And when you read the Torah, you see that. There was different captains of 50s and hundreds and that whole thing, and there's a rule of command, correct? Some people just don't like a rule of command; they just want to be in charge. Yeah. So law and order has to be, and it's found in the Bible. Marriage is a two-way street. Ephesians, Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's how you're supposed to do it. It says, I was going to put more verses in there, but my computer went out. Therefore, as the church is subject to Messiah, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's only if they're of God. That's only if they're of the God of Israel. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So that means you're going to be there at your wife's beck and call, right? Because you're going to assist her in her walk with God. It's not you're going to be there a tyrant, dictating with the whip, and you're the husband. That's not the way it runs. So ought men to love their wives, how? As your own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, right? Some people don't love themselves. Paul writes to the Colossians and he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter against them. The husband's supposed to go out there and with the sweat of his brow work, right? Nowadays, there's no family unit anymore. It's almost a race because everyone's working and they have all these kids and they drop them off to nannies and babysitters and the children get to know the babysitters better than the husband and wife. I don't even know why people have kids anymore. They just have them and drop them off every day to daycare. And, you know, it's the family unit is dissolved the way God set it up. So it's very sad. And, of course, Paul tells Timothy, if any provide not for his own. Now, if you don't even provide for your own, right, your own family, especially those of your own house, right, you have denied the faith, and you're worse than an unbeliever, an infidel. Isn't that sick?
Yeah.
Terrible. Some people have denied the faith without even knowing it because they just love the Lord, but they don't do nothing he says. And there's a structure in a body of Messiah. There's a structure in a congregation. There's structure in a family. And, you know, nowadays, I don't know, with the way the rules are going in the world, anybody can marry anyone. Men with men, women with women, people marrying their pets, marrying themselves, all kinds of crazy stuff out there. All I can say is like what Apostle Paul said, let us return unto the bishop, the shepherd and bishop of your souls, and find out the law and order in the Bible. And there's a direction, and there's a... you have to discern it correctly. You can't be the ruling dictator. You have to make sure you do everything with simplicity and godliness and mercy. You can't, that's the way you're supposed to do everything. Anyway, my study's short today. Let's see how short it was. This is the shortest message. Oh, well, it's still almost an hour, believe it or not. Can you believe that? Well, we're not counting that close. Remember, we're counting Sabbaths, not Omers. Seven Sabbaths are going to go like that. Already five. That's a whole hand. We got two left. And 50 days is going to fly by, and it's going to be May 24th. 50 days is going to fly by. How many days left? Let's see. Today is the...
We have 14.
Huh? Yeah. Two more Sabbaths. And then we'll have Feast of Weeks. It'd be so nice to have two Sabbaths in a row.
Yeah, really?
Next, anyway, our next Sabbath was going to be the sixth Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths we were told to count. So time is just flying by. Shabbat Shalom. I hope you got something out of my message today. There's law and order through the Bible. There's actually law, the more I think about it, there's law and order in the universe, you know? Everything runs the way God wants it to run. The only thing that sort of gets out of sync is man. He starts doing his own thing, and people start just running, making laws and rules and regulations that have nothing to do with God, and it's terrible. So I hope you have got something out of my short message today. Where's the title again? Let's see here. There it is. Law and order in the scripture. And I'll add more to this later, Lord willing, and I'll put it online later. But may God bless you today on the Sabbath. May God instill in you this teaching that there's a direction to go in the body. There's a rule. There's an order. And that's what we all have to apply ourselves to, and not try to make our own selves exalted and forget the order of God. May God help us in everything we do. May God bless you, heal you, strengthen you, and may God keep us all in his precious blood that we need to cleanse us from any sins that we might do ignorantly. We don't sin presumptuously. But I thank God today for the Sabbath, and may God help you in everything you do in your life. May God say, and everyone says amen. Amen. God bless you, and may God be with you. Shabbat Shalom. And I will shut now the, I'll stop the video, and that's done. And then I'm going to stop the...